from, well, Pastor's Church at Doristown, Georgia, Mount Zion. And it's been a while since Brother J.E.'s been here, but he's no stranger to folks here. He used to come here quite a bit, but may the Lord bless you.
Y'all don't mind, I'm going to slip this off. It's just a little warm to me. I noticed that nice big clock on the back of the building back there. I like that. Now, at Mount Zion, we had a small one up over the door. And about 2 weeks ago, Brother Steve come walking in with one just like that. I was wondering why, but my wife said, I believe I can tell you the reason. No, I'm going to try to be mindful of the time tonight. There's nothing like a man getting up ahead of you and jumping on what's on your mind. Subject of hope. Hope defined to me as faith looking forward in expectation. Faith looking forward in expectation. But I want to speak to you tonight on a city that had no hope. A city that had no hope. A city in need of a church preaching hope. Reading in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now, the apostle writing to the young minister Timothy, he would say, tell Timothy this, in 1 Timothy, that in his introduction, let me get to it here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, but which is supplied. I like to read it like this. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope tonight, isn't it? Our hope. Thessalonica was a church, was a city that was without hope. Now, no doubt it, when Paul and those traveling with him came to Thessalonica after just getting out of prison. For why? Preaching the gospel and refusing, in Acts 16:16, refusing to compromise the truth. Here he comes to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica there was a big entryway with an inscription above the top of it. And it said, this inscription was this: after death, no reviving. After the grave, no meeting again. Do you think that would kind of bring you down? How would you preachers like to go to a church that had that over the door before you started inside? That'd be depressing, wouldn't it? Do you reckon the people at Thessalonica were depressed? Well, I know one old fellow was depressed. In digs around the city, in the last century, they come across a tomb. And this tomb had one inscription on it. And that inscription was, "No hope." Thessalonica was a city without hope. Thessalonica was made up primarily of Gentile people. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians tells us the condition of the Gentile. In 2:11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." Now listen to this. "That at that time you were without Christ." If they were without Christ, they were without hope, wasn't they? Right. Is he going to tell you? "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise." Now they were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, but they were strangers from the covenants of promise. Now what's the difference in an alien and a stranger? An alien is one that is not, has no claim upon anything. But a stranger is a person away from home. A person away from home. Did you know the Gentile people all those years? They were just strangers from the covenants of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. You remember what the last thing that the Lord told Abraham when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis 12? "In thee shall all nations of the world be blessed." In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Of course, that was going to be in Abraham's seed, not seeds. Paul makes that clear in Galatians. That's a seed and not seeds. All nations of the world and those Gentiles, they had a heritage and did not know anything about it. Didn't know a thing in the world about it. They had a hope, and they didn't know anything about it. Paul would add here, having no hope and without God in the world. No doubt that was a miserable city. Think about the countries in our day and time that basically do not know about Jesus Christ. How many are in that condition today that has no hope? That's something to think about, isn't it? But Paul, in the face of that inscription, Paul would come to Thessalonica and he started preaching the gospel of hope. The gospel of hope. Five times in the book of and writing to the Thessalonians, the apostle would mention the word hope, reminding them of the hope that they now had. The only thing that Paul mentioned more to the church at Thessalonica than about hope was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in every chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And it is in every chapter in 2 Thessalonians. I'd read over it in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Until the other day I looked and it's just like, you preachers ever have it, seemed like the Lord just slapped you on the back of the head and says, "Look here." There it was in the last chapter also. Paul was He is tying the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ together with hope. With our hope, that is our hope, isn't it? That's what our hope is, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how much preaching have you heard on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You thought about that? We have let the world take one of the most wonderful doctrines in the Bible and sensationalize it so much that sometimes we seem scared to preach on it. Amen. I spoke on the secret rapture the other day. Built on two words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I mean, they take two words and preach a whole doctrine on it. And did you know that's really a recent doctrine? About 1830, it was introduced. But now, the majority of people that are claim to be Christian believes in a secret rapture. But you know, the Lord is coming back, and it's not going to be a real quiet coming, is it? Not going to be a real quiet coming. No, he's going to be well announced. He's going to be well announced. There's not going to be any secret about it. No secret about it. But Paul, writing here, is opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, is our hope. Now, he's speaking from the Old Testament scriptures. And in Romans 15:4, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. When Paul was preaching to them out of the Old Testament scriptures, he was preaching a message of hope. Aren't you thankful for that today? A message of hope, not a message of despair. Now think about that idol that those Thessalonica people were worshiping. They were bowing down to a stone. Maybe a stone had been picked, some emblem had been carved out of it. Some wood. Some of the scriptures have says, they have eyes and they see not, they have ears and they hear not, have a mouth and they speak not. And you could go all down through the body on that. They had all of it there. But isn't it interesting to know when he's talking about the idol, it is always described with the picture of a man. It picked those idols. Were an emblem of man. Those today that do not believe in God, you know who they trust in? They trust in man. They're trusting in the same thing those idol worshipers were trusting in. Nothing better, nothing stronger. They're trusting and something that we read about in the Old Testament when Dagon was placed in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. First night it just fell over on its face. But they set it back up. We'll set it up here good and sturdy. But the Lord showed what he thought about it, didn't he? Second night it tilled it over, just clipped the head off. I mean, it beheaded it in one stroke. and preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Thessalonians seemed to behead their idols with one stroke. Now, aren't you thankful of the gospel of hope? Do you see the need of preaching and spreading the gospel? That people don't know about it, that has no hope? Now the gospel is not, we don't send the gospel forth to give life, because Paul wasn't preaching the gospel to give them life. He was preaching the gospel that they could have some hope. That's what he was preaching it for. Now, I want to look at just a few minutes here in 1 Thessalonica, the book. I don't know about you preachers, but when I was beginning to read and study this book, my thought was, oh, that I could have a church like this. Oh, that I could have a church like this. You ever had that thought about this book? I mean, this was an outstanding church. A church that all they had was misery became an outstanding example of the hope the Christian people have. Thessalonians, skip down to the second verse. He says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, I just have a feeling the Apostle Paul had a special warm place in his heart for this church. In reading and studying this book, that just comes through. That he had a special place there. But you know, when he went to set up this church, what is the first thing he run into? Opposition. The messenger of Satan was always present to oppose Paul, wasn't he? Always present. And in 1 Thessalonians 17, in verse 5, it says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Brother Griffiths defined those lewd fellows of the baser sort. Vile loafers. We have some lewd fellows of the baser sort in our country. Vile loafers. And you know what they really love to do? Oh, they love to spend money. You know how they got their money? He tells you right here. And gathered together a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jacob and sought to bring them out of the people. I mean, they were the paid demonstrators. Have we saw examples in our country recently with paid demonstrators? Why did they demonstrate against the Apostle Paul? Why did they go around saying, this is them that turned the world upside down? They were afraid of them. And brother, when you see paid demonstrators going places, you know that somebody is scared of those people. You can bet on that. But they weren't going to marketplaces where most of the business was taken care of. And they would go and they would demonstrate for whatever cause, paid good money. That's lewd fellows. That's vile loafers. And that's what Paul was facing. That's what we're facing in this country. That's what we're facing in this country at this time. Our roles of loafers has grown tremendously in the last few years. I say that tongue in cheek, but it's true. It's true. And don't tell me they won't do anything for a little bit of money. They will do it. But Paul has this warm place in his heart. And then he says in verse 3, remember remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He said, I'm remembering this without ceasing your work of faith. These people had faith. That means they had a hope with an expectation. Now that work of faith, I like to tie it in with the ninth verse, where they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And that work of faith is spelled out here for us, and how ye turn to God. And notice the way this is written, and how you turn to God from idols. Turn to God first from idols. That was their work of faith. Turning away from idols to God. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Now, notice this. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. The foundation of their works was faith. What did we hear preached from James, from several different ones? Faith without works is dead. Faith and works goes hand in hand. They hand in hand. They're good partners. Now, I used to run a hardware store and I had a partner. He didn't prove to be such a good partner. But I tell you what, when you got a partner you can depend on, it's a blessing. And faith and works are good partners. They're good partners. Because if you got the right kind of faith, then you'll have the right kind of work produced. Faith is the basis and the foundation of good works. Jesus would say that you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right. Then he would say this. And labor of love. They had a labor of love. And then in the ninth verse, he would, after they had turned to God from idols, that was to serve the living and true God. That was their love. That was their labor of love. To serve the living and true God. Then he would say this. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Let's look at verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That was their friend, because they had that patience, they were willing to wait. What is the most common theme in the scriptures in reading and dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? The word I run into most is the word wait. We just don't like to wait, do we? We just don't like to wait. But you know something? The Lord prepared us for that. Now he says, if you lack patience, we're to pray for it, ain't we? We're to ask for patience. Now, we need to keep that in context. I won't get into that with time about gone here. But notice that. Here he was. Now, then he would say, and brethren, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And then he would describe how the gospel came to them, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And they became followers of us. These people that lived in a city of no hope when they were brought to a position of having hope, what was their conduct? Are you a lot of churches of hope? Do your church preach hope? My church preaches hope. This was a people that had hope. And I especially want to show you what that hope resulted in these people. Now Paul come to them preaching the gospel of hope. And by the way, dealing with some of the major doctrines of the New Testament with young believers. When the Lord's on the scene, you don't have to have doctors and lawyers to understand the doctrines of the Bible, do you? No, the Holy Spirit can enlighten the smallest and the even the weakest mind. The Holy Spirit of God can open, and that person can rejoice in the deepest doctrines of the Scriptures. It's because the Holy Spirit of God is the one that gives them the light to understand. Now notice in verse, of course Paul, he goes through some other stuff about him being the examples and all, but here's the verse I wanted to get to. This church that had no hope, that had now become a church with a great hope. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Are you spreading the gospel today? Are you telling the people about this hope? You know, I've been preaching this a long time to people. The members of the church will get more visitors than the pastor ever will. Now, my wife, I'm so thankful for what she come home and told me this week. She's retired and she has some time now, so she can slow down and do some things. She went to the grocery store. She come home and told me, says, you know, says, I have enjoyed my shopping trip today so much. Says, I met three interesting people, and says, we just had the best conversations and the best conversation about the Lord. And they wanted to know where I went to church. She said, well, I invited them to come to church. Said, but we're out of town now, about 54 miles north of Hazelhurst, where we are at now. She said, but if you don't want to drive 54 miles, there's a church preaching the same doctrine right around the corner over here. Would you go to it? Would you go to it? That's all we've got to do, folks. Invite people and tell them the Prendy Baptist are the people who is preaching the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine which furnishes the hope of assurance that we need. I believe the church can grow again. I believe the church can grow again. But I don't believe it's going to grow if we're going to sit on the pews and not say anything, and let not the gospel be the primary thing about the church. The preaching of the gospel, the singing of the hymns, which goes hand in hand with the gospel. You have beautiful singing here, and I've been very much impressed with it. But you have a tool there. You can get people to come sing. And sing them some of those good old songs which goes along with the gospel of hope, and tell them about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're at the throne of grace, please remember some prayers.
$399, first class.